Hey, thanks as always for having me. Glad to be here.
You know, we were, you know, looking at the two brackets, and just as a reminder how this works, it's just like it was 2 weeks ago. You know, each bracket is like a regional kind of bracket where you want to be the last team standing. Ideally, you'll go 3-0 and advance to the best 2 out of 3 for the national title. But, you know, as we were mentioning what Louisville had to go through to advance out of their regional just 2 weeks ago, they had to play 5 games because they lost the second game and then had to battle their way back to win it all to advance. So they actually played 5 contests to advance to the Super Regional last week. So that is not the ideal thing. You don't want to eat up your pitching. The ideal thing is to do what Vanderbilt has done previously in 2014 and 2015, and that is taking care of business in your first 2 contests.
Yeah, I mean, it's an endurance test, isn't it? Once you get there, I mean, it's going to be, you know, quite literally the last team standing. It's a long tournament. A lot of pitching needs to be used, and we all know Vanderbilt's starting pitching is probably, without a doubt, the best in the nation, and it'll become a battle of the bullpens for a lot of teams. You know, Louisville did struggle in their regional, but they did come back and sweep East Carolina in the Supers, and then you can look at Vanderbilt losing to Duke in the first game of their Super Regional. Didn't really tax the bullpen at all, thanks to Kumar Rocker on Saturday and his 19th strikeout no-hitter. But, you know, going back to the 18 field, I mean, you just got to have so many guys step up. You have to have so much depth on the mound. You got to have guys eat up innings. There's a good chance one of those teams is going to take one on the chin and lose a game, you know, 9-1 or 15-2, and have to have a guy just take one for the team and pitch 4 innings of a blowout. So it really is a test of endurance to see which team can last the longest and which team can have its starters go 6, 7, 8 innings to help that bullpen out. Like we said, and Vanderbilt's starting pitchers are in prime position to do that without a doubt.
Or if you're like what Vanderbilt did in 2015, what they almost got accomplished is you can just go 5-0 and you'll be in great shape. Because that team, if you go back to the team that was trying to make it back-to-back World Series titles for Vanderbilt, they go 3-0 in their bracket, and so then they advance to the best 2 out of 3. They win the very first game against Virginia, so they're 1 win away from repeating as national champs. Unfortunately, they lost back-to-back games, Virginia, and that was it. But they almost did what is the ideal scenario: just go 5-0, and you'll be this year's national champions.
Yeah, easier said than done, right?
Oh, and yeah, very much so.
I think that, yeah, obviously that proves the point that there's no formula to get there, right? I mean, we've seen teams lose that first game and not lose again, you know, or lose the first game of the best of 3 at the end and then win the next 2. I mean, look at Vanderbilt losing that first game to Duke, kind of a footnote now after what they did the next 2 games. So as long as you avoid elimination any way possible and just get there at the end, that's really all that matters, whether you go undefeated, you know, whether you lose 1 game early on and then, you know, 1 game in the best 3 series. Hey, as long as you're the last team standing, I don't think anybody's going to care how you got there, whether it was pretty, whether it was ugly. Just get to the end. Get that 27th out so you can get that dog pile in the middle of TD Ameritrade Park.
We look at the journey for some of the other teams besides Vanderbilt. You know, here's Michigan. The fact that they advanced out of the regional that was hosted by the team that won the national championship last year in Oregon State, and then their reward, they had to find a way to win a 2 out of 3 series against the #1 overall national seed, UCLA. Well, they did that. In fact, of UCLA's 11 losses this year, Michigan handed UCLA 3 of those, including 2 last weekend. We look at a Florida State team that goes unbeaten in the Athens, Georgia regional hosted by Georgia. They go 3-0 there, including 2 wins against Georgia. And then last weekend, they go on the road against the 13th overall national seed, LSU. They sweep them. So here's Florida State, 5-0. Mississippi State, so far this year, 5-0 as far as the NCAA tournament is concerned.
The College Baseball World Series, the playoffs, kind of reminds me of the NHL playoffs. And Tim Corbin said it best, you know, it's not necessarily the best team. It's the team that's playing the best at the end. You look at, you mentioned Michigan. I mean, who thought that they would make the College World Series? Auburn, what they did to North Carolina in that decisive game, putting 13 runs up in the first inning to win that game to get to the College World Series. Florida State playing for their coach. I mean, at this point, you know, a whole lot of what you have done at this point, it doesn't matter because everybody's 0-0. It's very cliche, but it's true. I mean, teams are playing very, very hot right now. They have a big-time belief that they can get it done. You look at a Vanderbilt team, obviously the favorite, so everybody's going to be coming after them and then trying to give them their best shot. So, you know, I know Vanderbilt is the favorite, but it really is a wide-open field, especially with some of those underdog teams that are probably riding that chalkboard material of nobody believes in us, nobody thinks we can get it done. We're the odds-on favorite to be one of the first teams eliminated. Let's keep doing what we're doing and upset people and shocking the world. So, yeah, on paper you say, all right, well, you know, Vanderbilt is kind of head and shoulders above a lot of the field. But you got some of those teams, like I said, that just got a lot to play for and have a lot of momentum, riding some big-time winning streaks, and they could be very, very dangerous later on in that College World Series.
Chad Bishop, once again, he covers Vanderbilt for Vandy247.com, part of the show. You know, we look at these runs. We look at what Vanderbilt has done this year, and the fact that I go back to the SEC tournament because I remember having this conversation with Tim Corbin. It was two, you know, they went 4-0 during the week, but two wins, they experienced something that they not had to do all year. First of all, they win a 1-0 game en route to their SEC tournament championship. Well, their second game, they had to beat Mississippi State in a 1-0 affair. But then in the championship game, you know, they found themselves down by 8 runs, and they have the biggest turnaround in SEC tournament play as far as for the title game, and they win that one 11-10. I bring it up because even this past weekend, you know, they were 16-0 in the opening game of weekend play since February. And their very first game, they have a loss against Duke. And so now, for the first time this year, they were facing elimination. If they lose again, their season is over with. And how did they respond? Quite nicely.
Well, I don't think I'll ever forget our conversation. It was moments before what was supposed to be first pitch on Friday night.
Right.
One play. You know, we just thought that, you know, anything can happen. And lo and behold, Duke comes out there and puts a whooping on Vanderbilt. And nobody saw it coming. And it was just kind of one of the stranger things. But for Vanderbilt to come back the next day and get the performance from Kumar Rocker, but then not only that, come back on that Sunday and kind of put the nails in the coffin and win that series. It kind of all tied in together to the SEC tournament game that you mentioned. And then I'll go back even further. You know, the last weekend of the regular season, they go to Kentucky, blow a 9-run lead and get down to Kentucky before a long weather delay and come back and win that game 16-10. They've just found so many ways to win. They don't seem to get derailed at any point, whether it be, you know, Indiana State giving them a fight in the regional, whether it be Duke putting a hurting on them in the super regional, you know, whether it be getting down big in the SEC tournament, whether it be losing at home to Missouri a couple weeks ago. They just seem to keep coming back and keep coming back and will not be denied what I'm assuming they think is rightfully theirs. And I think that's what's so impressive about this team is that, you know, I know I sound like a walking cliche, but they just seem like a team of destiny that nothing's going to get in their way. If they lose to Louisville on Sunday, I don't think there'll be any panic from anyone because I think they'll know that, okay, we're going to come back and win the next one, and we're going to win the next one. We're going to keep winning, and no matter what happens, we're going to try to get this thing done because, you know, they can win the 1-0s. You know, they can win the 22-11s. They can throw no-hitters. They can hit 5 home runs in a game. They just have so many different ways of getting it done. It's one of the more impressive things I've covered in my time as a sports writer.
When you look at Vanderbilt's baseball history, you probably, first of all, circle 2007 as one of the most talented teams, may have been and had the opportunity to be the best team in Vanderbilt history. But guess what? That team's season ended up short in the regional play. And so that was a team that had not only David Price, but also Pedro Alvarez. I look at this year's team, and you know that the talent that's still coming back from this year's team next year and the following year, but knowing that 13 members of this team already drafted in Major League Baseball, you expect that number to grow over the next 2 years with the folks that are coming back. And the fact that, you know, right now going into the College World Series, already tied in program history with the squad that won the that made it to the College World Series in 2011, and then a team that had their season end in 2013 in the Super Region, but 54 wins. they're right there with unfinished business. This team certainly has all the possibilities of being the best team ever in Vanderbilt history.
You're right. I wrote about it earlier this week. I mean, the numbers, first of all, make the case. The 54 wins, you know, that ties the most ever. Look at individually. J.J. Bleday already has the home run record. Austin Martin will be the first 400 hitter in program history since 2004. Tyler Brown's going to go down as one of the best closers in program history. They've already set a record for home runs. They're creeping up on a ton of offensive records in the history books. And we've talked about it on the show before. This is a different era of college baseball. This isn't, you know, 20 years ago where everybody was hitting, you know, 20 home runs per game. I mean, this is a completely different era, and this lineup is just jam-packed with people. We've joked about the MLB draft. I mean, Vanderbilt had guys drafted that don't even play. That's how deep this roster is. And I think when all is said and done, you know, 10, 20, 30 years from now, people will realize, hey, no matter what happens in Omaha this week, I mean, that team will undoubtedly go down as one of the best in program history. Just the way they were able to win the SEC regular season and then win the SEC tournament and then the regional and the super regional, get to Omaha. Even if they, you know, win one game and nothing else, they'll become the winningest team in program history as far as a single season is concerned. So just an incredible run by this group of guys that I don't think anybody will forget for a long time.
Yeah, easier said than done. Maybe in 25, 30 years, you know, folks forgive them. Once you get there, I don't care if you're Vanderbilt or Michigan or Florida State, you want to win it all. And as far as, you know, the 2020 vision looking 2 or 3 days after, however this plays out, you know, depending on what happens to Vanderbilt, you know, with that kind of talent we're talking about and the number of players we're expecting to be drafted over the next 2 years as well from this team, you know, anything short of winning it all. I think the key for Vanderbilt, just make it back to the best 2 out of 3, because everybody knows at that point anything can happen. Now, I do know it's tough for Vanderbilt's bracket, knowing they've got Mississippi State, the 6th overall national seed, and there's Louisville, the 7th overall national seed. But Vanderbilt so far this year in meetings against the 3 teams in their bracket, including Auburn, they're 6-0 against those 3 teams, 8-1 overall against the teams that are alive in the College World Series. That includes a 2-1 record against Arkansas. But because of these stats that we keep throwing out there, the SEC Player of the Year, the fact that already they're tied for most wins in program history, the fact that 13 players from this year's team has been drafted already for the Major League Baseball draft. So when you start throwing all those things in there, you start going to the point, well, where are the expectations? Well, the expectations is for Vanderbilt to be playing for a national title in that best 2 out of 3 series.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, I think those guys are going in there. They won't say it publicly. They certainly won't say it to us in the media, but I think there's a look in their eye. You know, you talk to Ethan Paul, the senior shortstop, and that quote came up over the weekend when Tim Corbin, after Sunday night's win, said, you know, Ethan Paul said the loss in the Super Regionals in 2018 was going to make that team better, and it did. He played that quote for the team before they left for Christmas break, and I think it's always been in the back of their minds that this is the end goal, that they want to win that national championship. Philip Clark said he had, you know, TD Ameritrade Park as the background on his phone ever since they lost in the Super Regionals last year. They're a driven and focused team, determined to win a national championship. And, you know, I don't know if they would say this publicly, but if they came back to Nashville 0-2 or 1-2, whatever the case may be, I think they would consider that a disappointment. Definitely, no doubt about it, because I think deep down they know they're the best team in the country. They're the team to beat, and anything short of bringing home that trophy, or at least, like you said, getting to that final best of 3 series would be a little bit of a failure.
I mean, it's to the point now, and I was talking about this with Joe Fisher earlier in the show, the voice of the Commodores. You know, as far as right now, still to be determined who starts on Sunday against Louisville for Vanderbilt, and you know, you think about Kumar Rocker's performance. Remember, he's 8-1 in his last 9 decisions. At one point this year, he was 2-4 in his last 9 decisions, 8-1. But it wasn't the 19 strikeouts. It wasn't the no-hitter why I think that he's making it very tough on Tim Corbin and that staff deciding who gets the call on Sunday. It's the fact that the second batter he faced, he hit the batter, and he didn't hit him in the leg or the rear, hit him in the face. And the fact that most folks in that situation, most pitchers, I don't care if you're a longtime professional at the major league level or high school, it doesn't matter. You lose your composure. What did Kumar Rocker do? Oh, 19 strikeouts, a no-hitter, an elimination game for Vanderbilt. That's why I don't be shocked and surprised to see him get the call on Sunday.
Yeah, it was funny. Tim Corbin had a great line. You know, someone asked him, you know, what should the expectations be for Kumar Rocker now? And Tim said dryly, 20 strikeouts and a perfect game. Tim Corbin has not really changed his rotation all year long. It's been Drake Fellows, Kumar Rocker, and then Patrick Graveyard, Mason Hickman. It's been kind of that way since the middle of the year. I don't know if that changes now, despite Kumar Rocker's hot streak and the way he's been pitching. But I will say, if Vanderbilt does go with Drake Fellows on Sunday and things aren't going their way early, then you better believe that one of those guys will be ready in the bullpen. And that's, you know, we started off the conversation with Vanderbilt starting pitching. They got four guys. Most college programs are lucky to have two really good weekend starters, and Vanderbilt has four. So no matter what trouble creeps up their way this weekend, they got someone that can come in there and eat up innings, can save the bullpen, can save the day. Just a wealth of talent in that starting rotation. So no matter which way they go Sunday, it's, you know, whether it's Drake Fellows or Kumar Rocker, it's going to be tough for Louisville to hit, because those guys have been lights out. And Mason Hickman, he pitched 5 2/3 innings earlier this year against Louisville in a game that Louisville won 6-2. So he's an option as well. It's, again, just a wealth of talent. The rich get richer, and Tim Corbin has a great problem on his hands trying to figure out which starter he wants to throw on Sunday.